Welcome to another episode of Reading the Bible Responsibly. We are going to finish up our Genesis mini-series with this episode. This mini-series has focused mainly on the first three chapters of Genesis, and in this series we've talked about both creation stories that show up in chapters 1 and then chapter 2. We've talked about what the dome might mean and how that changes how we read Genesis and how it interacts with science. We talked about what it means to be created in the image of God. We talked about the fall and the serpent. And in the most recent episode, we had an interview with Dr. Janet Ray, the author of the book Baby Dinosaurs on the Ark. So now it's time to wrap it up. Given all that we've talked about, how do we read Genesis responsibly? I want to leave you with five principles for reading Genesis responsibly as we wrap up this series. Number one, read asking the questions who and why, not the questions how and when. Our questions in the 2000s are not the questions the original hearers and readers of Genesis would have had. They weren't asking questions about DNA or geology or the fossil record. What do we mean, though, that who and why were their questions? How do we know they would have been asking that? Here's principle number two. Compare Genesis to other ancient creation stories, not your geology or biology textbook. The original hearers of Genesis would have been surrounded by other stories from other cultures talking about how creation happened. You may be aware of this or you might not, but it makes sense that other cultures would have had stories about how they were created. That would have obviously been a big question for them. How did we get here? And so it's not surprising that cultures all around the world that existed at the time had creation stories. I want to bring two to your attention. The first is called Enuma Elish. We date that to about the second millennium BCE. It was a creation story from the Babylonian culture. By the way, Abraham, who was originally from Ur of the Chaldeans, probably would have been told this story as a child who grew up in this culture. The other story is called Atrahasis. We date that to about 1700 BCE. That's a creation story from the Akkadian culture. I'm not going to go into the details of all those stories. There are links to read about them and read an English translation of them in the show notes. But suffice it to say, these stories are very different than Genesis. These stories depict gods who are lazy and create because they want someone else to do the work, and gods who get mad at their creation for being too loud and obnoxious, and gods who are power-hungry and not creating out of love. And Genesis stands in stark contrast to those stories. So if you imagine yourself a person in the ancient Near Eastern context, Genesis gives some markedly different conclusions about who the true God is and what the true God is like and why this God created the world and humanity. Third, then, stop fighting with science teachers and textbooks. It's the wrong fight. I think that if we can come to believe that Genesis is mostly addressing other creation stories, then we can stop thinking that Genesis is mainly addressing 20th century geology and biology. But okay, you might say, so Genesis is addressing ancient Near Eastern creation stories. That's the first I've heard of that. And I'm just now hearing that these stories exist, so they certainly aren't much of an issue for my faith, you might be thinking. But Josh, you're saying that Genesis isn't really trying to interact with more modern issues. So what do I do with Genesis in the 21st century? That brings us to principle number four. Look for eternal truths about God and humanity. When we read the first few chapters of Genesis, we see that God is sovereign. We see that God wants relationship with his creation. We see that God created out of love, not laziness. We see from the end of the Eden story that God provides even as he punishes. He sends Adam and Eve away, but even then he clothes them. There is compassion from God even in the midst of punishment. And we see that humans are prone to try to be like God, and this is a constant source of trouble. Principle number five, keep perspective. Yes, I know that there are big problems with some readings of Genesis. But overall, this shouldn't be a cause of dismissing someone. There have been a variety of questions and readings of Genesis since the beginning of Christianity and even before. I love this quote from Augustine in his Confessions, where he says, "How then shall I respond to him who asks, What was God doing before he made heaven and earth? I do not answer, as a certain one is reported to have done facetiously, shrugging off the force of the question, he was preparing hell for those who pry too deep. This just lets us know that people have been asking these kinds of questions since the beginning of time, since the beginning of Christianity. And so these questions are nothing new for us. There is not a straight line through history from an orthodox young earth creationist view downward to a heretical view of atheistic evolution. There has been and should be room for many views among God's people. Why does it matter that we read Genesis responsibly? I hope you can see that it's less about getting it exactly right, and it's more about not drawing lines around interpretational conclusions where God has not drawn lines. And it's more about not repeating the mistakes of the past, like when the church fought people like Copernicus and Galileo because of readings of Scripture that the church later had to rethink. These kinds of conflicts can sidetrack us from getting to the deepest meanings of Genesis. It keeps us from asking the most important questions, like, who is God, and what is God like, and why did God create the world and humanity, and most importantly, what do we do about that? There are so many resources I could recommend to you if you're interested in reading Genesis more responsibly. Let me just mention one for the moment. There's a book that came out in 2006 by Dr. Francis Collins. Dr. Collins is a believer. He is the recently retired director of the National Institutes of Health. He was one of the leaders in mapping the human genome. He speaks eloquently about science and faith. And his book, called The Language of God, is a great read. I highly recommend it. There are, of course, many other resources, and I'm confident that you have the ability to find some additional ones that will be helpful to you in your journey to read Genesis more responsibly. I want to thank you for being here for the Genesis series. Some of you probably really enjoyed this. Some of you, this really wasn't up your alley, and I get that. But I appreciate your attention as we've looked through this important book of the Bible that is so foundational for how we think about the world. Our next episode is going to be a look at Christmas. Where did it come from? Why do Christians celebrate it? How should we think about this holiday? I appreciate all of you. Thanks for your encouragement and attention. We'll see you next time.